You guys know how, like, when you're going to go somewhere, you start packing mentally long before you actually start putting stuff in your suitcase or something like that? I was thinking about that this week because I've got a trip I'm going on in a couple weeks. I'm going on a teaching retreat at a Christian camp over in central Minnesota. And I began thinking about what I need to take on this trip. Now, 25 years ago, I spent two summers at a Christian camp in Wisconsin. Again, 25 years ago, all I think I needed to plug in was my alarm clock. That was it, because fortunately we had one plug in the cabin. So I took it with my alarm clock. That's all I needed. Now I'm starting to go through mentally listing what I need to take that requires power. I need my laptop. I want my my tablet. I've got my cell phone. I've got my smartwatch. I've got my iPod. If I want to go running, I have Bluetooth wireless earbuds. Well, all these different things that require power, and that's just really. We are so, you know, power and getting power and access to power, we're always looking, especially when it comes to these little guys, our cell phones. If you've got a smartphone, man, you know how powerful the smartphone is, but also how much power it sucks. And you're just like, oh, if you run out of power, you're like, oh, I need some power. And go to the airport, and there's power stations to plug into, and there's coffee shops that got all the power stuff, and schools, and everybody, because we're so obsessed with power. This is actually not my current phone. This is an older phone I found in my desk drawer the other day. This is one from a year ago. It's a Samsung Galaxy S4, something like that, S4. It was like state of the art about 6 or 7 years ago. But last year I upgraded, and so I tossed this in my desk drawer and forgot about it. And now it still looks good. I mean, I took good care of it and everything, but it doesn't function the way it's intended to function, because I haven't charged it for a year. It's got no power. And I thought, that's kind of the way a lot of Christians live their life, is you kind of look good on the outside, but there's a lack of spiritual power. There's a lack of energy on the inside. Do you ever know that you run across some people, and they just kind of seem to have more spiritual power than you do? And something goes wrong in their life, and they just have this deep assurance that God's in control. They don't overly worry. There's this assurance when they pray. It's not these rote prayers, you know. But there's this sense of God's presence there. There's a passion. There's a power to their prayers. They seem to be winning the battle against sin. Why is it some people seem to have more spiritual power than others? And why do so many believers in Christ today seem to lack spiritual power? Well, that's what I want to look at together as we continue in our series on the book of Acts. If you were here last week, we started looking at the book of Acts. If you've got a Bible and want to follow along, we're going to be in Acts chapter 1. Grab a Bible out of the pew if you don't have one. If you have a smartphone that has power, you can download the Bible app. It's called YouVersion. It's great. You can always have your Bible with you. Acts is the story of the early church. And it was written by a guy named Luke. And the title of the book was put on there by the early church. When these books first circulated, these letters and so on, they didn't have titles. You know, it's not like they had marketing stuff. They were like, oh, this is what Luke wrote. This is the gospel he wrote. So they called it the Gospel According to Luke. And then he wrote a sequel. And they said, well, we've already got a gospel. It can't be what do we call it? And they started reading through it, and they said, well, it looks like all the apostles did a lot of stuff. So they called it stuff that they did, the Acts of the Apostles. It really is what the early church called it, the Acts, the stuff that they did, that the apostles did. But recently, people have kind of said, you know, that might not be the best name for it. Really, maybe a better name would be the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one character, the one person that just drives everything throughout the entire book. And we're going to see this again and again and again throughout this series as we come back to this. It's about really Jesus working through His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as He builds His church through the early church. Now, the theme verse, the key verse, is really Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And if you've got your own Bible, you know, you might want to underline or highlight this. But this verse is sort of the core of what's going to be happening in the book of Acts. Let's look at this real quick together. Acts 1:8 says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And really, the rest of the book of Acts traces this journey that he lays out there that Jesus lays out in Acts 1:8. It follows that exact path. They start in Jerusalem. That's where Jesus is. He's talking to the guys. Hey, we're in Jerusalem. We're going to start here. We're going to go out to Judea, the region. We're going to go next door to Samaria. Some of them are like, oh, Samaria. And then to the ends of the earth. Like, are you kidding me, Jesus? You know, we're just like 11 guys. We don't even have our 12th guy. You want us to do all this? Jesus is like, yeah, you've got a mission. And I believe in you. You can do this. I want you to go tell other people what you witnessed. And that's really the key phrase is, you can do it. We talked about that last week. Jesus said to them, you can do it. You're ordinary people, but I've given you this extraordinary mission. I believe in you. You can do it, but you're going to need some help. You're going to need help. Jesus says to them, I won't be with you anymore physically, but I am still going to help you accomplish the mission that I'm giving you. You can do it with my help. I'm going to give you the power to accomplish the mission when you receive the Holy Spirit. And it was about a week later, the disciples gathered in Jerusalem for the festival of Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit came on them. And it says in Acts 2, it says there was a sound from heaven, this windstorm, and what appeared to be like tongues of flame just settled on the disciples. And I can't imagine. I always think, you know, Steven Spielberg could really do some amazing special effects stuff like with this. Like, they're standing around going, what is going on? It says in Acts 2:4, all of them, all of the believers, there was like 120 of them gathered at this point. It says that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit enabled them. God gives them this ability to speak in languages that they hadn't learned, to speak about Jesus to people in the crowd. The people in the crowd would have recognized it, but they didn't. It would be like one of us talking about Jesus in German or in Russian, and we hadn't learned German or Russian. And one of the reasons this is important, everybody had gathered together for the festival of Pentecost. There were people from all over. Not everybody spoke Greek. Not everybody spoke Aramaic, which were the common languages. Some of them spoke other languages, and suddenly they're able to understand the gospel in their own language. And the significance of this is, part of this is everybody, the good news is for everybody. Everybody gets to hear this. Nobody gets left out. Now, when Jesus says back before he ascends, he says, you will receive power. Who is the you? Who's he talking to? Talking to his followers. Talking to his followers, but not just the ones that were gathered there. He's talking to all of his followers. Talking to us, you and me. Look at this verse from Romans 8. It says, the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. In you, not just some believers, not just like really spiritual believers, not just pastors or priests, but within you. All believers have the Holy Spirit. See, when you make the decision to follow Jesus, when you ask him to forgive your sins and to be the leader of your life, the moment that happens, the Bible says God sends the Holy Spirit to take up residence within you. The Holy Spirit is God himself. The Spirit of God enters into your body. It says your body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit. And somehow God begins to do life with us. Our spirit shares with his spirit. Theological term for this is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God takes up residence in your life and in your spirit. Somehow all of this happens, and it happens the moment you put your trust in Jesus. You receive the Holy Spirit, and you receive power. What kind of power? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's a power that's going to make you bold in sharing your faith. It's power that'll give you joy and peace, even when life's hard. It's a power that will allow you to love people you don't feel like loving, forgive people you don't feel like forgiving. It's a power to live a supernatural life in the natural world. The Bible says that that power, that same power that raised Christ from the dead, is available for us today. But we have to tap into that power in order to experience it. Reminded me of my dad used to tell this joke. And it kind of went like this. There was a guy, a city slicker, who moves up to like the north woods of Wisconsin, somewhere out in the woods. And he decides he's going to live there for the winter, realizes he's got to get some firewood, he's got to clear out some of the trees on his land. So he goes down into the nearby town to buy a chainsaw. And he goes to the dealer, and the guy's like, I got just the one for you. If you use this chainsaw, you can cut down like 50 trees a day, no problem. The guy says, super, I'll take it. He goes, he comes back the next day, and he says to the dealer, he's like, man, he says, I worked all day. I only got 3 trees cut down with this chainsaw. guy's like, well, there must be something wrong with the chainsaw. I'll exchange it. So he gives him a different one. Guy goes back. He comes back. He says, I worked sun up to sundown. I only got 4 trees cut down. There's no way I'm doing 50 trees with this chainsaw. And the guy's like, man, there must be something defective. Let's take a look at it. So he starts it up, and the guy jumps back. He goes, what was that noise? I'll give you a second to get out. I didn't say it was a good joke. In fact, I warned you. It was a dad joke, okay? But that image of like him trying to cut down the tree with this chainsaw without any power, I'm like, that's us. That's us. We try to live the Christian life. We try to live the life that God has for us. We have access to spiritual power, but we don't tap into it. All believers have the Holy Spirit, but not all believers are using His power. Look what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians. He says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. It's by living by God's power. That's what the kingdom of God is like. That's what the Christian life is. Some of us talk the talk really well. We look really good on the outside, but inside we lack power. We don't rely on the Holy Spirit to empower our lives. And so worship is just kind of hollow. You know, we sit and we go, I don't really get it. I'm not moved at all. God's word seems kind of stale. We read it and I don't really understand that. It's kind of, our prayer life just kind of meh. We never have the thrill of seeing God transform our lives or the lives of other people. But when we tap into that power, man, some amazing things will happen. Now, there's a couple of reasons the Holy Spirit gives us this power. Two very important reasons, two purposes for this. And the first is this: God empowers us for mission. He empowers us to accomplish the mission that Jesus gave to all of His followers. And one of the ways that happens is that we are empowered to share Christ boldly. To share Christ boldly. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. You will receive power to be a witness. You're going to get power to tell people about me. And we're supposed to go everywhere, all throughout our city, our region, to the very ends of the earth. That's the mission, and it hasn't changed. That's what we're called to do as churches and as individuals. But we don't do it on our own. We need help. And so that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that enabled those 11 guys to spread the good news throughout the world, that same power is available for us today. There's a purpose for that power, and that is so that we can tell people about Him boldly. It doesn't matter if you don't know the Bible real well, or if you don't feel like you're articulate and good with words, or don't like to be up front. God will use everyone. God will use everyone. Sometimes we think God can't use us because we're not the smartest, we're not the most talented, we're not the most articulate or educated, but Jesus chose to use the people he used because they were available. They're available to God, and God wanted to show His power through them. Remember, Peter, this guy who denied Jesus 3 times because he was afraid of what would happen to him, end of the Gospel of Luke, the power of the Holy Spirit comes on the disciples in Acts 2. Acts 4, Peter is preaching about Jesus so boldly that he ends up going to prison. The moment he gets out of prison, he gets together with the other disciples, and they pray, and guess what they pray for? They don't pray for safety. They don't pray for protection. They don't pray for God's blessing. All of those would have been fine, but they pray for more boldness. He gets out of prison for preaching boldly about Christ, and the first thing he says is, God, make me even more bold. I want to be bolder. Look what it says happens in Acts 4. It says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And the world was changed. Ask yourself this. If every Christian shared the gospel as often as you do, how many people would be reached for Christ this year? I understand some of us are more comfortable with that sort of thing than others, and some are going to be more gifted at sharing their faith, but this is a personal responsibility for each of us. God gave you the Holy Spirit. Didn't just give Him to the person next to you. Didn't just give Him to me. He gave Him to you, and His purpose is He wants you to be His witness, to be bold in your neighborhood, your school, your apartment building, your workplace, all throughout your life. You don't have to hand out tracts or become a street preacher to do this. You can just bring up the topic of faith in normal, everyday conversations, and you can do it in a natural way. you want some guidance on this, I put a resource in your notes. Just pick up Bill Hybels' book, Walk Across the Room. She'll just walk you through how to do that. Sometimes it's just as simple as telling how God changed your life. Sometimes it's as simple as just inviting somebody to church. But who's that person in your life that God may be using you to reach this year? God wants to use you. God's power will be with you as you do. God gives us power in order to accomplish the mission that he gives us. And then the second reason God gives us power through the Holy Spirit is he empowers us for life. To power to live the life that God created us to live. See, the Holy Spirit is the source of power for Christian living. And there's all kinds of ways this takes place. We read in Scripture, the Holy Spirit will give us guidance and insight. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit gives us inner strength. Look at this passage from Ephesians 3. Paul prays, he says, I pray out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. You know, athletes will often talk about core, building their core and having a strong core. My son tells me I need to exercise my core, you know, get my core. That's what's going on here. The Holy Spirit strengthens the core of our very beings, strengthens our soul. The Holy Spirit will also give you power to overflow with hope. Look at Romans 15. It says that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you, what's your hope quotient like these days? Now, how full is your hope? For a lot of people, their level of hope is pretty limited. Got a marriage that's full of bickering, son or a daughter who's rebelling, got some health issues that are failing, bank account that's dwindling. So many people today live life with very little hope for tomorrow. But when you rely on God's power, our hope will increase to the point of overflowing. Look what Psalm 42 says. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. See, when you're sad, when you're discouraged, get depressed, pray that verse. Just decide, I'm going to put my hope in God. When your job feels pointless, rely on God's power, and he'll give you purpose, and your hope will increase. When you got a lot to get done, you're feeling overwhelmed, kind of weak, rely on God's power, and he'll give you strength, and your hope will increase. If you've got a decision coming up, and you're confused, you don't know what to do, rely on God's power, and he'll give you wisdom, and your hope will increase. The Holy Spirit will empower you, and your hope will overflow. May your hope overflow in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will empower you for mission. The Holy Spirit will empower you for life, but you need to tap into the power. You need to receive that power on a daily basis. How do we do that? Real quick, let me suggest two ways. First, put yourself in a position where the Holy Spirit can speak to you. You know, most frequently, I hear the Holy Spirit, you know, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit when I'm worshiping in church, when I'm praying, or when I'm reading God's Word. In fact, that last one is really key. In fact, I would say it's almost certain you will not be filled with the Holy Spirit if you're not filled up with God's Word. Here's what 1 John 2 says. John says, I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God lives or abides in you. If the Word of God is not living or abiding in you, you're going to lack power in your life. There's going to be a lack of victory in your life. You say, well, you know, I don't like reading the Bible too much. You know, I like to read the newspaper or Facebook or that kind of thing. But there's no power there. There's power in the living Word of God. The Holy Spirit causes God's Word to come alive, to help you understand and apply that to your life today. So here's my challenge for you. This week, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 10 or 15 minutes a day, set it aside to be with God. I know a pastor who calls this his chair time. Find a spot in your home for your chair time. Maybe a favorite chair, maybe a couch or something like that. But just sit there for 10 or 15 minutes a day, connecting with God. Read his Word, and then let it fill you up. And open your life up to the Holy Spirit and listen for his whispers. Did you know engaging with God's Word is the single most powerful act a person can do to move ahead in her or his faith journey? Single most powerful act, engaging with God's Word. And it's one of the primary avenues that the Holy Spirit will use to speak to you. So that's my challenge. 10 or 15 minutes a day of chair time with God. If you do that, you will open yourself up to the Holy Spirit to speak to you and work in your heart and in your life in ways you can't even begin to imagine. If you want to receive God's power, put yourself in a position where the Holy Spirit can speak to you on a daily basis. Second, ask God. Just ask God. You want to receive God's power? Ask Him. Just say, God, fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Make that your prayer this week. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power. Got a hard conversation coming up? Holy Spirit, fill me with your power. You find yourself stressed out or anxious? Holy Spirit, fill me with your power. You get distressed or sad or discouraged in life? Holy Spirit, fill me with your power. That's a prayer God loves to answer. Look at Romans 8:26. It says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with wordless groans. Ever feel like that? You're facing a situation, it's just so complex, it's so difficult, that you don't even know how to pray or what to pray for. You're just like, I don't even know. You don't even have the words. The Holy Spirit will pray for you. Maybe you're in a situation like that right now. You know, you think about your marriage and you think about, or you think about your children, or you just kind of go, God, I don't have the words anymore, you know. I don't even know what to pray for. Or another relationship, a friend or your mom or dad or brother or sister. There's been so much conflict in that relationship and so much pain over the years. And you just say to God, you know, I pray, God, I don't even have any words left. So you need Romans 8:26. You need the Holy Spirit to pray for you. You need to just say, Holy Spirit, come and pray for me about this situation in my life. And then, Holy Spirit, fill me with your power. Just ask. You know, there was once a time when the Holy Spirit came upon an ordinary group of men and women and filled them so strongly with His presence and His power. They became unconditionally committed to God and intensely devoted to one another. They gave up their money and they gave up their status. They gave up their lives and they traveled all around the world. And the world got changed. Why can't that happen again? The Holy Spirit has lost none of His power. He is no less able to transform lives and communities and worlds today than He was then. What if we were just to ask God to pour out His power, the power of His Spirit in our lives and on this church? What if we prayed, Holy Spirit, empower us. Pour out your power so that we can be your witnesses. So we can accomplish the mission that you gave us. And then what if the Holy Spirit just got poured out all over the place like never before? And marriages got healed. That power to knit together the hearts of husbands and wives, even when they think things are broken. The power to liberate people from the destructiveness of sin. People who think they're trapped. People who are addicted. People who are destroying their lives away. What if the Holy Spirit's power just got poured out all over them and they were freed from their sin? What if the Holy Spirit's power got released in your life and in my life and in this place like never before? What if? I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. I'm going to sing this closing song as our prayer to God, our cry out to Him, asking Him to send His Holy Spirit to us in power to accomplish the mission that He gives us and to live the lives that He's called us to live. Would you stand as we sing this song as a prayer together?